All right, I guess we may as well get started. First topic, recommendation publication schedule. Been a flash of flurry of emails going by in the last day or so where I had offline invited the RDF chairs and staff members to this meeting in order to discuss this item. And I think as a result of that, we have a general consensus that it would be acceptable to publish JSON LD just after concepts and semantics are transitioned to PR. Is that your understanding, Manu?
Yes.
This is apparently something which is initiated by staff. It's not otherwise involved with the rest of the working group. So this is something that we can petition Yvonne to take care of if we can get a resolution in this group, and then use that in order to get a similar resolution tomorrow in the RDF working group. See, the only slight objection to that was from Yvonne, who felt that there would be a little bit of more thunder involved if JSON LD were to come out with the rest of the RDF documents, making it a bigger deal for the RDF publication. However, I think both Hoos and David agree that JSON LD really is somewhat something different, and there are a lot of advantages to having it out there on its own separate, but not before semantics and concepts are published. So rather than trying to do that at the exact same time that they are transitioned to PR, we would follow on perhaps a week or so later with JSON LD going to recommendation, which would be able to do sometime in early January. For discussion, it would be useful to have any anecdotal evidence about the importance of having JSON LD be a recommendation early. Does anyone have anything to add on that point?
I'll
scribe.
So I have been having a couple of offline emails with several large deployers of JSON LD. Of course, I can't say who they are because those conversations are private, but they were asking what the status of JSON LD was and when it's going to get to rec and that kind of stuff. They were asking mainly because they wanted a signal inside their company that they could go to production with a number of tools and and products that they're working on, meaning that they don't want to publish any kind of announcements before JSON LD is a rec, because if there is some kind of last-minute change, they don't want to be, put in the strange position of having released a product that now needs, an immediate patch or a change. So that's one of the reasons that I've been kind of pushing or trying to push folks to just publish these documents sooner than later. There's no more work that needs to be done. RDF concepts, even if there is, even if it never goes to rec, it doesn't really affect JSON LD. It doesn't affect the implementations, and it doesn't affect deployments, other than us having to figure out a way to, fix the data model. But it has no practical impact on the people that are going to be using this technology. The normative dependencies that we have on the RDF documents are fairly academic modeling issues. They're not anything that would affect a web developer creating this stuff. the other argument I've heard is, well, if RDF concepts changes drastically, meaning it removes something like graph naming or generalized RDF, then there would be an issue. And I think the counterpoint to that is that there would be a bigger issue in removing those features at this point than there would be in keeping them in. So we don't really see that as something that's going to happen. So delaying the publication of JSON-LD just seems like a kind of a academic exercise rather than something that's actually practically, rather than we're trying to prevent something that could practically happen, like a destabilization of JSON-LD. All that said, I think there's general agreement to take JSON-LD to rec immediately after the other documents go to PR. And I think that's something that this group can live with, if I'm not mistaken.
Just give me something to plus one.
All right. just a second. Okay, proposal. Let's see. How should we phrase this? Who just joined the conference?
This is Paul.
Oh, hi, Paul. Well, we are just, I don't know if you've seen any of the IRC conversation, but we are just about to propose that the RDF Working Group decide to take the petition the director to take JSON-LD specs to recommendation just after the PR publication of concepts and semantics.
Okay.
Greg, I'm writing that down because
Oh, great. Thank you, Mano.
That the RDF Working Group petitioned the director to take JSON-LD to recommendation immediately after the publication of the proposed recommendations for the RDF 1.1 work. Lane plus one minus one.
Great. Okay, I'll resolve that.
Yep, sorry.
Oh. All right. Great. Thanks. I think it'll be really great to have this thing out here. We've all done so much work on this, and we've come so far. So one final step. Okay, next topic, future business of the CG. A couple of things have been left hanging that we moved focus from due to the drive to get the core API and syntax documents out. Notably, framing, which has come up more recently in other conversations. Normalization, which arguably is not really a JSON-LD activity, but nonetheless we should discuss how that should be, what we should do with that. A streaming API has been discussed as being useful for doing very large data set dumps, where in-memory processing requirements of the existing algorithms are perhaps prohibitive. And there's been more talk recently on the need for sort of something like the indexing mechanism, but working at a different level in order to allow a layer of, to ignore a layer of keys. Does anyone else have any other types of work that we'd like to put on the table for us to work on going forward?
I think we have a number of different lingering issues that we could take a look at on GitHub. Things can't remember, we had a few more things that we could add to the ideas that we could add to the context for, I don't know, I can't even remember all of them now, but we wrote them all down as issues on GitHub, so we could just take a look there.
Okay, so maybe we can sort of push this on a mailing list going forward.
Yeah.
Has there been any other discussions or conversations regarding the OData stuff with Microsoft? I know that right there for a while, towards the end of the CR process, that came up quite a bit.
No.
Not really.
I think the last thing we agreed was that, well, I can't remember his name, but he said he will send some examples, OData examples, to the list, and we will then show how it could be modeled in JSON-LD, but we never got those examples.
There has been a little conversation with, recently, Marcus, you were involved with it as well, another JSON format, it's escaping me right now.
HAL.
HAL, yeah, exactly. And that's sort of where some of this sort of inverse indexing mechanism could be useful. Another place that came up was in, look, I think it's probably not particularly important right now, but the microdata JSON definition uses a property key to store all the properties, and there's really no way to make use of that in JSON-LD context right now. I think there's a couple of examples of this. We will probably find more where people like to use keys to in sub-objects in order to compartmentalize information that doesn't really work as well in JSON-LD unless you start to introduce blank nodes.
Yeah, it doesn't work well if you have properties which don't mean anything, but you still want to have a connection between the two objects.
So I guess a couple of things to think of are, what is the kind of framework under which we could do extensions to JSON-LD without sort of breaking the existing specification? Any thoughts on that?
So I think, you know, there are two main classes of extension specs. One that are kind of algorithmic extensions to the API, and that really doesn't break it has less of a chance of breaking the spec because we can kind of feed other data that's needed, other out-of-band data that's needed for the algorithm into the API. Any kind of syntax changes we make, however, has a danger of destabilizing things, meaning that, you know, if we add some mechanism to, like, for example, support this compartmentalization of data and linking between two, you know, different compartments, there's a chance that people will start publishing that data, and if they start publishing that data, we will start going down a path that we can't get back out of, meaning that it's the second we start making syntax additions to the language, we're talking about JSON-LD 1.1 or JSON-LD 2.0. So my preference is to not make, is to maybe have proposals down, but make it very clear that these are discussions around extensions, and not push that kind of stuff until we're absolutely sure that we want to make that kind of syntax addition to JSON-LD. So I'm wondering if there's a way that we could experiment with stuff via the API first, and then if it seems to be useful, we can push that into the core syntax. But I don't have anything concrete, really, on how we could, you know, do that. I think framing is a good example. Framing is something that we can play around with a lot in the API, and people can implement it in the API, and it doesn't really affect the syntax. So that's great. Framing's great. Same thing with normalization. I don't think we really care that much. Normalization just works on the current syntax. I think the same thing with the streaming API, as long as the streaming API doesn't need any kind of syntax additions. But when we're talking about this compartmentalization, sub-object linking stuff, I think where we inevitably get into syntax, talking about syntax. There are two ways of doing it, really. The first way, the sub-object thing, the first way is to provide something like a JSON-LD macro, some mechanism that will transform the JSON-LD into something else that you can then pass to a JSON-LD processor. So that's one way we could get linking between subcomponents of a JSON-LD document. And, of course, the other way, so the primary way, or the first way is do some kind of API mechanism to transform JSON into JSON-LD, and then the second mechanism is create some kind of syntax that just is, declarative that does it.
I'm sorry, Manu, I missed that distraction here.
If you could describe
that last bit.
Sure. There are two ways.
I gotta pause. Get offline for just. All right, I'm back.
That was quick.
Well, my wife fortunately took it. It's early here, so I don't know why we're getting calls at 7 in the morning.
I'm normally not out of bed at 7.
Me neither. Except for these lovely calls.
And I have two kids that have to be at school at 7:30.
That's very impressive, Dad.
We're four houses from the school, so.
Oh,
okay.
That's
good investment.
So, speaking of sort of syntax level changes, the keywords that are added by framing, do you consider those to be syntax level changes or not? Or what is the type of thing you're talking about with regards to syntax change?
They are not really JSON-LD documents in a sense, in my opinion. They're kind of a different type of document, a frame.
Yeah, and even then, from the spec, they have different media. The frame has a different media type, even so.
Yeah, right. But they are processed by the same algorithms. My algorithms have to have special clauses for the framing keywords.
Right, that's because we try to reuse the existing algorithms, but that doesn't mean that we have to stick to them for all the time, or that we don't need to introduce some, special branches or flags or something. In fact, I think the current expansion algorithm would need some flags to process frames at the moment. At least I have some in my code, some if statements.
And likewise, if we were to make some changes for the HAL use case, would presumably require something in the context, which would be a new container keyword type, which would also be something that would be syntax level. But we do have a way of describing telling the algorithms to stick to the 1.0 behavior. As I recall, we added an API flag for that.
Yeah, but not from within the document.
Not from within the document.
I really think... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, presumably the presence of something within a context might be used to signal an extension.
I think a lot of those use cases come from trying to convert some other data formats to JSON-LD or some legacy data to JSON-LD. And I'm not really sure we should address that on the syntactic level. It's easy to write a converter or some algorithm to do that, but you don't need to kind of pollute the syntax with that.
Well, except in the case of HAL, where they were considering using JSON-LD, as the sort of the original publication mechanism, they seem to have pulled back from that because they, yes, they can see that they can transform to it easily enough, but it does mean some number of documents that are out there that are not JSON-LD that might have been otherwise.
Yeah, but I still believe that the reason for using HAL in the first place is that there are much more tools for HAL available yet, and in a sense it's more easy to process it because you know, you can extract those links easily, and especially for web APIs, that's very trivial to build a client for then. So I think what we would need to do is to concentrate more on tools and libraries around JSON-LD instead of trying to make the syntax more sophisticated or complex if you look at it from a different point of view.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that approach. I think one of the dangers once you ship a version 1.0 of a language is to try and then gain ground in different areas that you know, haven't been focusing on, like, for example, trying to get this to work for the HAL people and trying to get it to work for, you know, people that need to have these different compartmentalized data working. And I think that we run the risk of overcomplicating the JSON-LD syntax if we do that without having enough people, you know, yelling at us to add a particular feature. The downside to that is that we may lose, you know, people using JSON-LD because we don't have those features in there. But the trade-off is that if we make JSON-LD too complicated, then people are going to reject it because it's too complicated. So I think as a general rule, I think it's perfectly fine. I think Marcus is absolutely right. We need to concentrate on tooling and libraries because we don't have enough of that right now. The other thing that we should do is you know, with the tooling and the libraries, some of us might extend the JSON-LD API stuff that we're working on to support some of these cases so that we can point to HAL people to say, hey, if you want to convert from HAL to JSON-LD, here's a function to do it, right? Here's a really simple function to do it. And then if it becomes clear that we actually need to extend the language to win, you know, folks over, and the HAL community is fairly sizable, then, you know, we'd want to make a syntax change. But I'd say, you know, we should feel like we're a very long way away from making updates to the JSON-LD syntax. I think making changes to the API and making changes to just creating new tools would be it would just be a better use of our time if we want to get people using this stuff. We have to make it easy for web developers, and right now it's not that, I don't think.
I agree there. Plus, one of my concerns also is that at what point are we kind of betting on winners and losers in the thought space and the market, the thought market space? Because, I mean, in that case, there's also like the linked data platform spec coming through the W3C. That, I mean, at what point do we say, hey, we're going to support this, or we want to work closer towards that? I think the tooling is a better option, just to make it as agnostic as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we can move more quickly by working on tools than trying to change the syntax, and we can discover any syntax deficiencies by working on those tools.
Agreed.
Well, one possibility would be to look at the Antoine Grotz JSON-LD macros as the basis for some common tooling, because that certainly is the type of framework that allows for sort of ad hoc modification in order to get things into a JSON-LD format. Has anyone spent any quality time with that?
Not really. I mean, just the syntactic transformation is the least difficult part when going to adopt JSON-LD. It's more the whole idea of linked data, that you give your eyes to everything and et cetera. That's much more complicated than transforming a JSON representation, a different JSON representation. So I think you kind of need tools to show you the power that show you the power of using such an approach. So you can bring documentation in line, or you know, some simple API demos like the Hydra work I'm doing, and people seem to be interested in that stuff because it really looks simple but has some quite unique advantages over HAL, for example.
Definitely.
So if you could tell me if I'm wrong, but do we have currently some way of having kind of an escape mechanism from the defined syntax, saying, hey, if you want to do something outside of the defined syntax, here's the injection point, or is it just still pretty ad hoc? Because I think that's one area that might benefit us, is saying, hey, if you want to have put extensions, it's recommended that you put extensions under this particular area. That way, we kind of keep them a little bit more isolated, almost like a sandbox type of area. Like everything in the web, it's more, even if it's just convention rather than syntax.
I'm struggling to figure out how we would word that for people. I think people would find that more restrictive, rather than what we have right now, which is basically like, you know, if you want to do something, you know, create something on top of the JSON-LD data that the JSON-LD processor doesn't pick up, then just don't define a term for it, and you know, extend it that way. I think that at least is, to me, that's more powerful because people can kind of do whatever they want to, while still, you know, while still having the ability to claim that it's JSON-LD at its core. And then we can kind of learn from that. I think one of the dangers that we face once JSON-LD 1.0 is out there is that we make it too restrictive and stop people experimenting with it when we want kind of the opposite to happen. We want there to be the stable platform that people can experiment on top of, and we don't really want to restrict the ways in which they can experiment with it.
And I wasn't referring to saying restriction. I'm just saying to give people a starting point. And at least for me and a bunch of other people that I've talked with, it's having that, okay, well, where are some good injection points that I can start tinkering this with this thing and not break things? Just even if it's just in tutorial type documentation, saying, hey, if you want to, here's an example of how you could do an extension should you want. Here's another example. That type
okay.
of thing.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, so I misunderstood you. So you're saying if somebody wants to make, you know, let's take the HAL example. If somebody wants to transform HAL into JSON-LD, we could create a tutorial to say, you know, this is how you'd go about doing it. This is how you'd engage the community. This is the type of, you know, document that you'd end up writing. And
here are the gotchas.
Right. Okay. So basically, take what we're talking about right now and document it.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of times, getting into the new technology, and this is the learning curve that we struggle with, and honestly, at times we still do. I mean, we've gotten a lot better, but is which thread do you pull on first? And having some of that documentation on doing the interesting bits, saying, hey, here's how you could do some interesting bits with JSON-LD that's maybe outside of just the data format, that type of documentation, and they could and have like one very simple, like maybe we have one simple one, and possibly use HAL as the example there to show some of the power. Saying, hey, it's not just a way of having really long keys in your JSON-LD key value pairs.
Yeah, so I think that's a great idea. One thing I wanted to add to the conversation before was, rather than focusing on stuff like JSON-LD macros, I think it would be more beneficial to focus on very specific use cases like HAL, right? So we've seen somebody say, you know, I want to figure out a way to get HAL working with JSON-LD. How do I do that? If we can document exactly how you do that, and then point to that as a way of, you know, kind of quote-unquote extending JSON-LD, I think that would be a good kind of first cut at what we're talking about, right? Because that means that we're working on tooling, because it's, you know, we might be writing some JavaScript. We're working on documenting how you extend JSON-LD or how you work with JSON-LD, and we've got a tutorial on there on how you integrate with HAL. I mean, it's kind of, you get three things out of just doing that one piece.
Sounds like a blog post.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it would be a blog post at first, and then we can formalize it a bit more on the site.
I think that's probably a good way for these things to go, is someone who is interested in carrying these forwards to do a blog post, and then that could be used as the basis of creating a note, a CG note, say,
mm-hmm.
or something on the wiki, which I don't think is particularly well used otherwise.
Yeah, not really.
Well, the problem with those documents is just that typically no one wants to write them. So I think it's much easier to reach out on mailing lists like we already do, and on, I don't know, Stack Overflow and those places, and just answer people there. People will find it, or, you know, you can just point them to the answers there, and that works just as well, and it's much less work, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, in general, I think, you know, we each have a, you know, different set of strengths and weaknesses, and as long as we just play to our strengths and help out in the way that we think is most beneficial, that's what's going to work out for everyone. Like, it's not going to, you know, it's not. I don't think it's going to go over very, very well if we say, okay, you know, Marcus has to write a blog post about how to do HAL integration.
No, I was going to have you do it, Mono.
That is definitely not going to work out well. I have such a painful amount of work in front of me in the holidays. It's depressing.
You about ready to hop on a plane and go travel far away again?
Yeah, that would be. But I guess, you know, I think everyone understands the point I'm trying to make, which is, you know, let's just focus on kind of building things out. I think where we dropped the ball on the RDFA stuff is that once RDFA, you know, 1.0 went out, we started on RDFA 1.1 immediately because, you know, 1.0 had issues. And then once 1.1, RDFA 1.1 went out, everyone kind of dispersed, and the tooling for RDFA really didn't get that much better. And so I think we could potentially run the same risk with JSON-LD, where we basically say, you know, JSON-LD is good enough, it's working for us, and then we disperse instead of doing the necessary follow-up work, which is creating tooling, creating, you know, tutorials and documentation on how you use JSON-LD.
I think one tool we might should concentrate in the short term is that schema.org context stuff, and try to really get them to publish that at schema.org, because a lot of people are getting introduced to JSON-LD via schema.org.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess putting pressure on Dan Brickley and the rest of the Google team would be good. It's just they're so bad at moving on anything.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, I'm a little concerned based upon some tweets that Dan put out recently about their ever publishing a context at schema.org.
Yeah, which means that we're probably going to have to extend the stuff to include schema.org context. I mean, it's, you know.
I'm not so concerned about that. I mean, they're Google and they can't serve a little static file. I mean, I don't really believe that.
It's that they're refusing to. It's that they don't think that it's worth it.
I'm not so convinced about that. I just think Google is a huge company. They have, I don't know how many thousand employees, and it just takes time in those companies to get anything done. And if they don't have that connect set up, he can't do that himself.
There's been many release updates to schema.org. There is his recent tweets sort of pointing to W3C problems with having URLs for doc type and things like that, which get resolved and end up costing money. Now, I just can't see that Google is going to have a problem being able to field the requests that might come in for a for schema.org. But it does show some resistance.
Well, I think he's not in a position to make those changes himself, and it does get frustrating if you have to wait for things to get done for months, like setting up something somewhere.
Well, practically speaking, I don't know what other people have done. I've built in schema.org vocabulary into my system, which is sort of updated every time I release it. We have the version that's used for the playground. I think there have been a few publications of schema.org since then, and I'm not sure what it takes to keep that up to date.
Yeah, one really interesting thing that could happen is that we go ahead and put that schema.org into the processors, and it's a danger to Google because all of the implementers could decide to just basically take over schema.org that way. Meaning that the only terms that actually show up in JSON-LD are the ones that the implementers think should be in there. I'm not saying we do that, but I'm saying I think that the implementers have more leverage than Google's making out. And two, I think that it's a problem for Google if the implementers decide to start curating these vocabularies, because all of a sudden the entry point into schema.org is no longer the schema.org website; it's the context that we actually ship at the processors. It's a bad, yeah. Anyway, we need to work with Google. We need to work on Google and tell them that these are issues that need to be resolved.
Because
that they run is we build the context into the processor, and then people stop updating their processors, and new schema.org data is just not added to those contexts.
I mean, I wouldn't blame it all to Google. I mean, is the context created at all actually ready? I mean, Vikash wasn't really responsive to comments, and I don't know what state it really is, to be honest. So do we have to give, can we give them something and say, just put that up there, and that's how you update it?
We don't know. I think we had something. We had a good start, but I don't know if the work was really ever finished. So we might want to really start kind of hammering Dan Brickley and ask him exactly why this stuff isn't going up there. Like, is it, what exactly are the concerns, and just try and work on them one by one. And we may want to engage him publicly on public vocabs to just,
Well, I think what he's going to need is a Python program. I mean, what mine does in Ruby is it downloads the RDFA definition of schema.org, and it processes over it in order to create the JSON-LD context. Something like that in Python, I think, would be the type of thing that would make it much easier for him to keep that up to date. I mean, one is the content negotiation, and the other is having the static file pointed to.
Yep.
Right. I think Niklas already hacked something together, but we might need to improve that. And if that's ready, I think we should then ask Dan again to put that up there.
Yeah. I think I'll send a note out to public vocabs and see if I can provoke a response from him on what the progress is with that.
There's one other option, which is we could define something in the processors that says context.jsonld is the default context for a URL that doesn't specify a path or something like that. Sort of like index.html is sort of a de facto standard.
that he would publish on his on the website, or that
Schema.org could just put a file context.jsonld that we could give them. They wouldn't need Kinect or anything like that.
Should that be using that well-known thing if we were going that route?
We could.
No, I wouldn't like to go down that route, especially since we are talking about linked data. But I think Nicholas is on the queue.
Yep.
Yeah. Nicholas, go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, I came in just now, so I sort of seem to have dropped in just in time. If this was about the link I just sent, it seems so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I did not receive any other information from Dan after that, so I'm not sure if that was enough. I think that everything that's related to this is visible in the comments in that gist.
Yeah, so that basically does exactly what they need, right?
Yeah, insofar as I've understood what they need, I'm not sure if... I thought that Dan wanted the original thing, but in Python for offline running in their tool setup, tool chain, but it also seems that he wanted to discuss what we need, what we think is advisable concerning, for instance, coercing things that are sometimes strings and sometimes things. I just gave my personal reflection there in a comment, and I adapted the script so that it behaved more according to my own preferences by default. But I haven't heard anything other than that, so I don't know if that is enough for what they want out of it.
Right.
Well, I think he might want some commitment on behalf of the tool providers to do what they can to limit excessive invocations of that URL through caching. So perhaps I'll send something out to public vocabs, and maybe you guys can follow that and emphasize it so that we can get a response that leads to some commitment to getting it done, or some preconditions that need to be met before it can be done.
Yeah, but please let's not discuss that thing like too many requests. Let's just talk about the tool in general and what's still missing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of, is there a list somewhere that has the various types of tools and tools that we think that we should have? As a way of kind of spurring people in the community to say, hey, here's a list of things that we would like to see, essentially, like if people want to kind of adopt a tool.
No, that does not exist, and it would be a very good idea for us to create that.
And I would also contend that putting it in a very prominent place, saying, hey, it's not just a one-and-done type of deal with JSON-LD, it shows that we have the ideas. It's just we need people to find their itch to scratch, and here's some ideas.
I think perhaps having a certainly something out to the list that is a thread on future work of the CG, and specific on the tooling needs or ideas for tooling that could be promoted as evidence of the ongoing activity of the CG would be a good way to go on that. I'm not sure where else we might publish that. Something prominent on the JSON-LD landing page, once we have something to talk about, probably would be a good idea.
Yeah, I would say on the website as opposed to the mail, as kind of a first class citizen, as opposed to just the mailing list, because the mailing list, unless you know what you're looking for, can be kind of Byzantine to navigate.
Do we have any sense of the kind of activity that jasonld.org gets?
Well, say that again, Greg.
Do we have any web statistics on how popular jasonld.org is?
I don't even know if it's tracked.
I think it's tracked, but Vikash might have the access to that. I don't know if he gave it to other people or not.
No, I changed it. Yeah. I invited all of you, so Greg, you should have access. It's Google Analytics.
Oh, that's right. I just need to look at. I haven't looked at that. All right. So we're coming up on the top of the hour. Is there any kind of a proposal, a resolution that we could make here that would sort of put in the door?
There are two things. I think that we should probably get actions out to folks that want to work on stuff. And then the other thing is to kind of update the group on where at least Dave Lane, Dave Lonely, and myself are going to be spending a lot of our time over the next couple of months. It does have overlap with JSONLD.
Okay.
So I think the whole reason that Digital Desert, started creating JSONLD was because we needed it for the web payments work. I mean, that's the whole reason we kind of created the specs and pushed it, through this standardization process. And then, of course, thanks to everyone on this call, it kind of blossomed and kind of took on a life of its own, and that's great. But now that we've got, we're getting 1.0 out there, we need to go back and apply to the web payments work. And one of the other things that's really required for the web payments work is the RDF graph normalization stuff. Framing's not all that important to us. We use it, but it's implemented in the API, and we don't really need it standardized to make use of it. And the primary thing that we are probably going to focus on is the RDF graph normalization. A bit of it. Framing will probably need to be done at some point in the next 4 years, but we don't have a time frame on it. As far as tooling and support like that, we would like to work on that stuff, but I don't know if we're going to have enough spare cycles to work on tooling and things of that nature, mainly because we're working really hard to get this web payment stuff off the ground, and that's where we need to spend our time next. So at least from our perspective, the things that we're willing to put a lot of time and effort into is the RDF graph normalization spec primarily, and then basically figuring out a way to take that to rec. That's our number one priority right now by a long shot. And then after that, potentially framing and then tooling and things like that. I would imagine that there's going to be some tooling that we create as a side effect of the web payment stuff. Like, we need to be able to get people so that they can validate their listings and they can make sure that their digital signatures on their products and their items for sale are valid. And as a side effect of that, we're probably going to create some kind of JSONLD, digital signature page that allows people to verify hashes and signatures and things of that nature. But I have a feeling that the vast majority of the work that we're going to be doing is going to be, the JSONLD is going to be kind of a secondary concern for us from now on out. So that's kind of where we're going. As far as actions, I think the actions that we're probably going to pick up is figuring out how to take RDF graph normalization to rec next. And getting that API figured out, and getting that API spec'd out in the JSONLD API. And unfortunately, that's as much spare time as we have right now. Based on what we talked today, there's still updates that need to be made to the website. There's the whole HAL, documentation stuff that needs to be done. There's the schema.org coordination work that needs to be done. That doesn't necessarily have champions. Greg's going to champion, I guess, the schema.org thing, or at least get the discussion started. I'm not clear who's going to do this, any of the tooling, and I'm not clear who's going to update the website.
No,
right, well,
let's
just,
sorry.
Let me
what
just
needs
put
to be updated on
the
What needs to be updated on the website?
Tooling. We need to list the tools there at a minimum.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if we ever pulled all of Bokasha's stuff in. That stuff might be still hanging out there.
Well, I think none of that stuff is really ready to be pulled down. And every time I ping him, he says he will work on it next week, and yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to just pull it in and fix whatever needs to be fixed, because we're just going to and we're going to stay in that situation for months if we don't do that.
Yeah, I agree. It's just that I myself don't find the time to do that right now.
Yeah. And this is the danger that we, and this is the problem that we fell into with the RDFA stuff, is that no one can find the time to do the really simple things that could make a huge, you know, difference. I can try and put aside a day over the vacation, quote-unquote vacation period, in the next couple of weeks to try to work on something on the JSON-LD site. But we really need to get other people from getting stuff to the site. If we don't have the time, we need to go out and find people that do have a couple of spare cycles. Figure out ways to get people to submit patches.
Well, Vikash had claimed that he was in this for the long term. Of course, that's about the last anyone heard from him.
Yeah.
I don't think we can really count on Mikash.
No, and even if he would do that, I don't know that we would trust him to do it right.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we might try and... So a couple of ideas on changing this. You know, I've thought about reaching out to our local university here and offering to do a independent study. And kind of mentor someone for an independent study for the semester. So they get school credit, and they basically work on some JSON-LD stuff that we want them to work on. And if each one of us did that, then we could potentially get, you know, four or five people contributing to the JSON-LD work. So it's just a thought. If you guys want to reach out and try to make that happen, that would be good. And then there's of course the Google Summer of Code thing that's coming up next summer. Assuming that we're going to submit some stuff for that again, based on our last experience with it, it wasn't a stellar experience. Maybe this time around will be different.
It worked quite well for other groups, anecdotally. It just depends. If we can figure out a better way to vet people, obviously, that would help.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will. If we can get a conversation going on tooling, that could be the basis for doing some section updates to the website, which I could certainly look into. I think things that require more PHP work are sort of out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, we'll certainly help where I can. But
all right, a couple of minutes left. So I think in terms of next meeting, I think next Tuesday is Christmas Eve.
Good luck after that
is New Year's Eve. I'd propose that we meet again on the 7th. Would people be available, interested in same bat time, same bat channel?
I think we should fall back on the frequency of the telecons if we don't really have anything to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason in showing up to the telecon every week or every 2 weeks if we're not making progress. And if we're not making progress, then we've got a big problem on our hands, meaning that we need to figure out a way of continuing the work on this stuff, because I think there will be a very strong desire to just go off and work on the next thing instead of making sure that JSON-LD has a has a strong enough ecosystem of developers around it to kind of live past the initial set of folks, the initial group, which is us.
I'll propose that we meet again on the 7th and use that as an incentive for people to have made some progress on some of these items, and with an idea of having regular but infrequent meetings to keep the pressure of things moving along with regards to JSON-LD, and hopefully get more people involved in order to share the burden. And really, that's for this to take off. It can't remain the original core contributors. It needs to get a life of its own. So anything that we can do collectively to encourage more participation and ownership of some of these things would be really good. So that said, please continue these conversations on the website before the next before the 7th comes along. I will send out a meeting agenda for the next meeting, and hopefully we'll make a lot of progress on this stuff. Anything else? Okay, well, everyone happy. Oh, Marcus?
No, I just wanted to ask Paul if he can stick a second on the call.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Sure.
Well, happy holidays, everyone, and see you in the new year.
All right, happy holidays.
You too. Thank you,
you too.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.